It had been a very difficult and trying past 2 days for Joshua and the Israelites. Achan's sin, followed by the defeated Ai, and then God's judgment on Achan and his family had placed Israel in the valley of trouble. But now that sin had been dealt with, God's people could leave that valley and enter the door of hope. And always remember, when we come before the Lord with a humble and contrite heart, no defeat is permanent. No transgression is beyond forgiveness and remedy. There's mercy with the Lord. That's the Heavenly Father we have. With the Lord, there is a new beginning, and with this new beginning, we receive a word of cheer, a word of instruction, and a word of promise. We enter that door of hope. Well, let's look this morning at this new beginning, followed by, and these will be our 3 points this morning, a new plan, and then we'll conclude by witnessing a new outcome. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 tells us, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Which tells us, no matter how greatly we might stumble and fall, by God's grace, we can get up and we can try again. We can move forward again. We can have a new beginning. In fact, one theologian has rightly said, the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. And oh, how true. I see that in my life. And Joshua 8 describes this new beginning. And this new start for Joshua and Israel began with a word of cheer and encouragement. And isn't that usually how beginnings begin? A word of hope, a word of encouragement, a word of love. And we see that here in verse 1. Former failures and defeats do bring discouragement over the past and fear of the future, but the answer to discouragement and fear failures of the past is always hearing the word of God. And notice what Joshua heard from the Lord. Verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." And here was the first key to regaining victory. Israel received encouragement from the Lord. You know, if you're going to receive any encouragement, it needs to, first of all, come from God. And yes, again, Israel had stumbled. They had sinned grievously against the Lord. Achan's sin had been a plague, a blight on Israel. And we saw that in chapter 7. But they had properly dealt with their failure, and now they could move forward. And so once again, God was with them. And God let them know that. You know, we know God is with us, but it's good to hear God telling us, "I am with you." Friends, whenever the Lord is with us, his people, his children, we can fear not our foes, so we can be encouraged. And I say, what a needful and helpful word of comfort and cheer it was. And that is just what Joshua needed. Remember, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And then this word of reassurance was followed by a word of instruction. Notice again verse 1, "Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai." And then verse 2 tells us, "And thou shalt do unto Ai and her king as that thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it." You know, God always has a will for his people to follow. And our means of victory is to faithfully and obediently follow his will. Now, if you recall in Israel's first attack on Ai, Joshua followed the advice of the spies and consequently used only part of the army. And what happened? They failed. But God's instructions were, verse 1, "Take all the people of war." And the Lord also instructed Joshua to use an ambush to take advantage of Ai's self-confidence stemming from Israel's first defeat. Please understand, God is not limited to any one method of working to defeat his foes. And then God instructed the soldiers to claim the spoils of war. Now think about this. How foolish was Achan's sin? He could have had all his heart desired if he had only waited on the Lord, which again tells us the path of obedience and faith is always rewarding. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him, to those who wait on the Lord. We tend in our natures to be in a hurry, but God says, wait on me. It is when we run ahead of the Lord that we rob ourselves of God's best, and we end up not only hurting ourselves, but everyone around us. And then we find God's word of promise in this new beginning. Notice the end of verse 1. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. I love the words, I have given. And this just isn't anyone speaking. This is God saying, I have given. What a glorious promise. Here we see Joshua's guarantee of victory. As long as he followed, as long as he obeyed God's instruction. I like what D.L. Moody said, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. But again, God's promises are always claimed by faith and obedience. We trust, and then we obey. Hebrews 4:2 uses the phrase, mixed with faith. We hear God's word, and then we respond in faith and obedience. And here we see the importance of the Christian soldier. Remember, we're talking about warriors of the cross. The Christian soldier spending time each day in God's word, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to engage the enemy. And remember, that is what Christ used to defeat Satan. When he was tempted, he said, it is written. And so the point of these first two verses is, no matter how we have failed, how low we have gone, we can get up and we can be used again. We can begin again. God's grace is greater. Our God is the God of new beginnings. Husbands, fathers, wives, moms, young people, our God is the God of new beginnings. He forgives. He cleanses. He cleanses from all unrighteousness. And then he imparts to us a word of cheer, a word of instruction, and a word of promise. What a mighty God, what a mighty Heavenly Father we can love, we can believe in, and we can serve. I think we regularly need to ask ourselves, Father, Heavenly Father, how real are you to me? How real are you to me? What a difference when we feel the reality of the living God. How encouraging and helpful that word of cheer, that in word of instruction, that word of promise then becomes. It is coming from the living God, who is my Heavenly Father. Well, we come now to our second point, and that's a new plan. And we see that in verses 3 through 13. One theologian has aptly written, God changes his leaders, lest we start trusting flesh and blood instead of trusting the Lord. And he changes his methods, lest we start depending on our personal experience instead of his divine promises. And here we see the method, the plan that God gave Joshua for taking Ai, which was totally opposite the blueprint that he had given for the defeat of Jericho. Now, as you recall, the conquest of Jericho involved a week of marches around the city, which was carried out in broad daylight. But the attack on Ai involved a covert night operation that would lead to a daylight assault. And the particulars of God's plan we see in the verses before us. We've already, in God's word of instruction to Joshua in the first two verses, we've already kind of seen a synopsis of that plan. But in verses 3 through 13, that plan is really enlarged. More detail is given. And this plan was ingenious, and its outworking involved three contingents of soldiers. And the first group of valiant warriors were sent by night to hide just west of the city of Ai. Their assignment was to rush into the city and burn it after its defenders had deserted it to pursue Joshua and his army. Now, this ambush unit of 30,000 soldiers might seem like an excessively large number to hide near the city. But the presence of large rocks in the region made it possible for all these men to remain unseen. And then the second contingent was the main army, which walked the 15 miles from Gilgal early the next morning and camped in plain view on the north side of the city. And led by Joshua, this army was a diversionary force to decoy the defenders of Ai out of the city. And then the third contingent, numbering about 5,000, was positioned between Bethel and Ai to cut off the possibility of reinforcements from Bethel coming to the aid of Ai. You say, well, why all of this detail? God thinks through the plan. I mean, he has a plan, and he wants us to simply follow his plan. One of the greatest lessons we can learn in life is that God's plan always works. Now, we argue all the time, don't we? I mean, we see in God's word what we are to do, his plan, his purpose, his will. But it's like, you know, Lord, I think I know a little bit more about this than you do. And I think it would be better if we do it my way. Now, God says, follow my plan. Are you following God's plan for your life today? Every morning we should say, Lord, it's a new beginning. It's a new day. Help me to know your plan for me today. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, as we see in verse 9, Joshua lodged with his army, and in doing so, he could encourage them to trust in the captain of the host of the Lord who would give them the victory. Now, in application, it's important that we always remember in every circumstance that we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. The pattern of past victories is not always God's plan for us today. The World War II song, "We Did It Before and We Can Do It Again," doesn't always apply to the work of the Lord. Here at Westside, we can dig ourselves into administrative ruts simply because we refuse to say, Lord, show us how we can be most effectively carrying out the Great Commission in our area today. Just because this is the way we've always done it doesn't necessarily mean it's presently effective. Baptist churches can also have traditions that stifle the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. Bruce Barton, an American business leader, said, when you're through changing, you're through. And I say, oh, might we pray, Lord, help us to know your plan today, so that we can be the most effective warriors, soldiers of the cross, followers of the Lamb. And then help us, Lord, help us to move forward with your plan. Remember, God is never in a rut. He never is. And then verses 14 through 29 tell us this new beginning and this new plan led to a new outcome. Friends, God gave the victory. This was the outcome. God wants the outcome of your life to be one of victory. Think about that. The outcome of your life to be one of victory. Now, in this new outcome, we see really five aspects. In verses 14 through 17, we see that Ai emptied. In other words, they left the city. Notice verse 14. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hastened and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle. He and all his people at a time appointed before the plain, but he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. One theologian states, they are most in danger who are least aware of it. And certainly it was a careless thing for the people of Ai to leave their city undefended, but such are the follies of self-confidence. And then aspect number two of this new outcome, we see in verses 18 through 20, and here Ai is captured. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. Now, interestingly, Joshua waited on the Lord's directive as to when he should raise his spear. And then he continued to hold up, as we see in verse 26, his spear until there was victory, which is a reminder of the battle Joshua fought against Amalek when Moses, if you remember, held up his hands to the Lord, and you can find that in Exodus 17. And I say, what two beautiful pictures of dependence on the Lord during battle. Lord, our hands are outstretched to you. We are looking to you for victory, and we will not cease holding our hands towards you until you do what? Give us that victory. And then third, we see in verses 21 through 29, Ai's army and the people destroyed. We read in verse 22, and they smote them so that they left none of them remain or escape. Now please understand, this victory was not the slaughter of innocent people, but rather God's judgment on an evil society that had for over 400 years resisted God's grace and truth. Remember, God is always a just God, and he acts in perfect justice. And then we see the fourth aspect, Ai's king slain, verse 23. And Ai, they took alive and brought him to Joshua, verse 29. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. This heap of stones over Achan and his family that Israel had previously raised was a reminder on how not to fight a war, whereas the second heap of stones at Ai was a memorial of Israel's faith and obedience and subsequent victory over the enemy. Aren't there markers in your life that remind you on how not to live the Christian life? And hopefully there are markers, memorials in your life that remind you what God blesses. Let me further add a note in verse 29. It's especially significant that Ai is always written with the definite article in the Hebrew. So what we're saying here is that When you see Ai, what it means is the heap, the ruin, which tells us God always wanted Israel to remember that only his plan brings true victory. Israel, remember the heap. Israel, remember the ruin. Ask the Lord to give to you some heap, some ruin that you can look back on and say, you know, I don't want to go there again. I don't want to go down that road again. And then we have number 5, the fifth aspect of this new outcome, verse 27, Ai spoils claimed. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. Since the first fruits of the spoils of war in Canaan had already been given to God at Jericho, he now allowed Israel's army to claim the spoils of Ai. And so at the end of the day, when Israel could finally claim victory over Ai, the people saw that not one word of God's promises had failed. Their defeat and disgrace caused by Achan had now been replaced by the complete and total conquest of Ai. Friends, it always pays to follow God's word and do it in God's way. The Lord gives victory. His promises are always true. He never fails when we follow his plan. Again, Israel's new beginning and God's new plan led Israel to experience a new outcome, and I add a triumphant outcome. Fathers, I want your families to experience triumphant outcomes. Now, maybe you need a new beginning. I say, hear God's word of cheer. Hear his word of instruction. Hear his word of promise. Say, Lord, talk to me. I need to hear from you. Talk to me. I come before you. Show me that path of life. I need to know it. I need to hear, Lord, your words. Fear not. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Lord, show me that new way forward in this needy relationship, this difficult situation. Lord, show me your path of life. Then follow it and experience his divine outcome. Again, please understand, your past and present defeats and failures do not mean the end of your usefulness for God. He is a God of new beginnings. Listen again to God's word of cheer for you as we close. Psalm 37, we read these verses earlier. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, yet he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And then I think of verse 34. Wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Verse 39, but salvation is of the righteous and is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him.